There's no way we can be as big a blessing as you folks are to us. The lunch was superb. The trailer is great. And I'm with my wife. I feel like I'm on vacation. Amen. But anyhow, we praise God for you tremendously. All right.
Your wife has something she wants to.
Zucchini lady?
Zucchini lady.
The zucchini. Who's the zucchini bread lady?
Second row right there.
Oh, yeah. Well, praise the Lord. What about the brownie lady? Did you get any brownies? Oh, okay. All right. Oh, she got her thanks? Okay. Well, praise the Lord. All right, Brother Caleb. Where's that song? So we'll do. I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou might ransom me and quicken from the dead. My Father's house of light, my glory circle throne, I left for earthly night, for wandering sad alone. I suffered much for thee, more than my tongue can tell, of bitterest agony to rescue thee from hell. And I have brought to thee down from my home above salvation full and free, my pardon and my love. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? Amen. I hope you appreciate it. We altered that a little bit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we come before you once again. Am I mic'd? Thank you. We come before you once again, Lord, for the second part of this message. And Lord, I know that, Lord, this message is speaking to me. And I just pray, dear God, that you would once again speak to me. By your Spirit, speak to us by your Spirit, through the Word, through the prayer that's been prayed, through circumstances, Lord, in our lives, and through the preaching and teaching in others. Speak, Lord. Prepare our hearts to receive your Word. May your Word fall not on the wayside heart, stony ground heart, or the thorny ground heart, but let it fall on a good heart that you've prepared to receive the word, that it might bear forth fruit in the lives of those who are willing to allow you to live your life through us so that we might obey or be able to obey the Great Commission. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, by way of review, I just go over the notes. And the title of the message, part two, is Missionary Methods. The thought is seven realities of how you can do what you can to obey the Great Commission. Our text, once again, is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we are able to do, according to the power that's already at work in us, amen, by his Spirit. The thought is, the only way you can do all that you can do for God to obey the Great Commission is to allow the Lord to do it through you.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. We talked about this morning, we talked about the seven realities of what you can do to complete the Great Commission. Pray for me. I'm losing my voice up here. You know, I guess it's going to be tough for me. But anyhow, we talked about how the Lord is always at work around you in your mission field. I can use some water. Thank you. In your mission field. Thank you. The Lord is always at work around you in your mission field. The Lord pursues a love relationship with you and those in your mission field that is real and personal. Now, I can't take up too much time with the review. So let me encourage you, if you if you weren't here this morning, and if you don't remember, get a CD or something, amen? That's what they're there for. The Lord invites you to join him in his work in your mission field. The Lord speaks to you by his Spirit, through his word, through prayer, circumstances, and his church to reveal your mission field to you and how to fulfill his great commission. Part two of our message begins where we left off. Excuse me. Oh, here we go. To see color purple, so you know what I'm talking about, right? But you wouldn't do that. Okay, you saw it then too. But anyhow, picking up where we left off, we talked about the whole concept of the fact that God speaks. He's always speaking to us by his Spirit. How many of you know that? Amen. Amen? And he speaks to us by his Spirit, through the Word of God. Primarily, God speaks to us by the Word. The Word is a more sure word of prophecy, even than from God personally speaking from heaven, according to the Word of God. Amen? He speaks to us by his Spirit, through the Word, through prayer. The Holy Spirit prays for us. The Holy Spirit teaches us how to pray, and the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart in reference to what to pray. You know, the prayers that get answered are more likely the prayers that the Holy Spirit gave you to pray. Because he knows what the will of God is. He knows what God has stored up for you in heaven. Amen. And if you want to get to what God, you have to pray according to the will of God. Well, how can you do that apart from the Spirit? You know, another method of praying in the Spirit is praying the words back to him, the words that he authored. What a powerful way to pray. Amen. Just pray back God's word. But he speaks to us by his Spirit, through the word, through prayer, through circumstances in your life. Amen? God speaks through circumstances. Circumstances are open doors of opportunity to obey the Great Commission, open opportunities to get saved. Circumstances. You can't minimize the importance of circumstances. And he speaks by his Spirit through the word, through prayer, through circumstances, and through his church. He speaks through the preaching and teaching of the word of God. He's speaking today. Amen. He's not only speaking through the preacher and through the teacher. He's speaking us to us to one another. You know, sometimes we get a word from a saint, and they don't even know that God is using them to speak to you. Amen. And if you find yourself where you ought to be, you'll be blessed by the fact, you know what, God spoke. And I don't know if this has happened to you, but as I'm more and more aware of it, when God is speaking to me, Pastor, it goes down into my spirit. You can know when God is speaking, when you get a word from God, if your heart is sensitive. That's why it's so important when the word of God says, he that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. How do you know when you can hear from God? Listen, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. You have to be close enough to him to hear his voice. He speaks with a still, small voice. And you know, God, even though it's a still, small voice, God can speak to you louder in a still, small voice than anybody else can. Do we have ears to hear what the Lord is saying? This morning we talked about how what that looks like for a person that's not saved. I said tonight we'll look at what that looks like for me. How did I know what God called me to be an evangelist? God spoke to me by his Spirit through the word. Caleb, there was a time in my life, man, where I was questioning whether or not God had called me to preach. And right before I started preaching this morning, I went to the park, And I said, Lord, I don't feel like you called me. I'd already known. Amen? But I wasn't sure. I was doubting it. And I began to read in my devotional life, and the Lord took me right over to where it says, preach the word. Be in season and out of season. God spoke that to me personally. It was as if like he wrote that just for me. And that went down into my spirit. And that encouraged me because God spoke to me at that moment through his word. Amen. Amen. And even before then, God was speaking to me, you know, telling me, you know, he has called me to preach. God spoke to me by his spirit through the word. He spoke to me through prayer. I was telling Caleb earlier, maybe a few years before. Jimmy Gugino, a pastor friend of mine, before we both became pastors, used to be, I was talking to this early this afternoon. Before we were pastors, we were in the bus ministry, and both were bus captains back in Rochester. This was some 30 years ago. And we used to always pray and ask God what he wanted us to do. God spoke to us in our prayer life that he wanted us to be preachers. Jimmy became a pastor years later over at Lighthouse, and the Lord allowed me to found a church back in 1992. God spoke to me by his prayer, I mean by his spirit, through his word, by prayer, through circumstances. He opened the door. He opened the door for me to go. He opened a door that no man could open, no man can close. And I said, Lord, me? He said, Tony, go. I tried to get out of it. I went back to my pastor. I said, Pastor, you got a Sunday school class open. Wouldn't you rather I taught the teens? You know, the teens are a tough bunch. I can handle them. He said, Tony, you got to go. And I said, gee, let me go talk to the boss. So I went downstairs and I talked to his wife. I said, Miss Simpson. She said, Tony, you got to go. She said, you're not afraid to preach the gospel. Get going. Amen. He spoke to me, Caleb, by his spirit, through the word, through prayer. People were praying for me. Amen. Through circumstances and by his church. People were always telling me, man, you're gifted. You're a gifted speaker. You know how you can get your gifts confirmed? By the people that you use them for. Yeah. Right. Amen. They said, you're a preacher. And so I went. It wasn't that easy. But for the sake of time, you know, how did he do that? He does that for any pastor. I'm sure you have the same testimony to some degree. Amen? What does that look like for an evangelist? Let's use Matt as an example. Not evangelist, but a missionary, a foreign missionary, because we're all missionaries. God spoke to him by his spirit. How did he speak? Through the word. I heard his testimony. Amen? God showed him. He spoke to him by his spirit through the word. God gave him verses to help confirm his calling on his life. Amen? He spoke to him by his spirit through the word, through prayer. God started showing him what to pray about, you know, and where he wanted him to go. God showed him in a matter of time, in his timing. He spoke to him by his spirit, through the word, through prayer, through circumstance. He opened up a door with Nick Serino over in Alaska. And I'm glad he didn't call me over there. Listen, I don't even want to go to Africa, and I'd rather go to Africa than Alaska. They start with A's, right? I would rather go. Listen. Okay, Lord, I'll go to Africa, but one time. If Yvonne goes with me. She didn't think that was so funny. But I'm willing to go where he sends me, as long as I know it's him sending. I've been saved long enough. You want to find yourself in the will of God. I had a missionary friend of mine to Africa come back and tell me, you might know him, his name is Bobby Bonner. Bobby came and preached at my church one day. He used to be with the Baltimore Orioles, and he couldn't make the Orioles because of Bobby Gritch, a shortstop he was so good that Bobby couldn't break through. But Bobby came to preach to me one day, and he said this. He said, Tony, he said, do you realize that the devil's trying to destroy your people? He's talking about black people. He's in Africa, missionary in Africa. I don't know how many churches he started, 300 churches. And he said, Tony, I said, yeah, he's trying to kill everybody. And he said, Tony, he's trying to wipe your people out. And he said, you know what, Tony? I would rather be in the jungles of Africa than on Avenue D where you have your church. The lions and the tigers, they don't shoot you. Avenue D, pretty dangerous area at one time. You probably heard about Avenue D in the news. Well, that's where we had our church at that one, that particular time. What's the point? God spoke to Matt. He didn't send him to Africa, but he sent him way over in the cold up in Alaska. He spoke to him by his spirit through his word, through prayer, through circumstances, and through his people.
Amen.
You were confirming his giftedness. And boy, I tell you, from the time that I kept coming, from the 5 years that I started to the last message I heard from him, what growth, man. I tell you what, man, that message was powerful. He spoke out of the book of Acts, I think it was Acts chapter 10. And I'm saying, wow. He preached one text from where I was preaching there earlier that day. And I said, he's going to steal my message. One time he got done, I said, gee, I wish I could preach like that. What's the point? God speaks. And he speaks to every one of us. We're all missionaries here. In our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. And God is he's speaking to you. Do you have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying? As he speaks to you by his Spirit, through the word, through prayer, through circumstances, and through the church. His people. The next point. Let me get my notes together here. The message is in my heart, so. He speaks. Principle number five. The Lord's invitation for you to join him in your mission field will lead you to a crisis of belief that will require faith and action. Let me say that again. The Lord's invitation for you to join him in your mission field, in your Jerusalem, in your Judea, in your Samaria, and or in the uttermost parts of the earth, will lead you to a crisis of belief that will require faith and action. 2 Corinthians 5:7. In other words, when God speaks to you, man, you're going to have to walk by faith.
Amen.
You know, if you don't walk by faith, you'll walk in fear.
Come on.
You'll walk in fear. You know, and God will test you. Are you willing to go? Are you willing to go? Are you willing to use the resources I've given you? They're not yours. They're mine. That money you have, that's mine. You're just a steward.
Amen.
The talents, the gifts that you have, they're mine. You're just a steward.
Come on.
Your time that you have, it's mine. Are you willing to give me? Your time represents your life. That's why it's the most important resource that you have.
Amen.
Are you willing to give your life to me? Let that resonate for a minute. You see, you're going to have to walk by faith. You're going to have to be dependent upon him. Whether you're in Alaska, whether you're in Africa, whether you're in Asia, whether you're in America, whether you're on Avenue D, or whether you're on 104. Are you willing to walk by faith? Look with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Are you with me, saints?
Amen.
2 Timothy chapter 4. Oh, God. Help me be swift to hear, slow to speak. I want to hear your spirit speaking right now. Give me a word for somebody here today, specifically. Yea, Lord, you can speak to everybody all at the same time. Do it, Lord. 2 Timothy. The Apostle Paul said this, beginning in verse 5. He said, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist." Now, he's not saying to be an evangelist. I'm in the office of an evangelist. Okay, amen? God didn't call everyone to be in the office of an evangelist, but he does call everyone to evangelize. You know, to tell people the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ, to preach and speak the gospel. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Paul said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." He said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept what? The faith." He was faithful to the end. Amen. Faithful unto death. But listen, that doesn't mean that you won't falter. That doesn't mean that you won't fall down. Man, I've fallen many a times. We don't count faithfulness by man's standards. Amen. You know, God, you know how God calls, listen, just look at God's Faith Hall of Fame over in Hebrews chapter 11. And look at the testimony of those men and women over there that God said the world is not worthy of them, Caleb. Look at them. They didn't start well. I don't know if any of them started well. But boy, they finished well, didn't they? You know, they epitomize that verse that said, "For without faith, it's an impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him." That was their testimony. You're going to have to walk by faith. Or you're going to walk in fear. Are you with me tonight?
Amen.
Let's look at the next point. The Lord's work will require you to make major adjustments in your life to obey the Great Commission. Look with me to Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke 9, 23. I don't know about you, but this is very convicting stuff.
Amen, brother.
But I tell you, it's good. It's good. You know, I tell you, I need to be revived. You know, we have revivals. Revivals are for saints, man.
Right.
I'm in Matthew. That said Luke, right? It's one reason why I don't turn to a lot of scripture. It takes me too long. And he said to them, speaking to his apostles, his disciples, speaking to you, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Brother, what does it mean to take up your cross? Brother Legault, can you tell us what it means to take up your cross? And no speech, just... I'm sorry, Judy. Because I'm going to ask Caleb. He better be ready.
To me, take up your cross
is
to take up the burden the Lord gives you. Because it says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me."
You got that on the recorder over there? I like that. I'm using that. I'm borrowing that. See, Judy knows I asked her earlier. That was good, wasn't it, Judy? Okay, Caleb, what do you have? What does it mean to take up your cross? He didn't say his cross, your cross.
It means to take up his way over your way.
I like that one too. That's good enough. Amen. That's good. I like that. No preaching, son. It's my turn. Listen, if you're going to take up your cross, and I'm getting ahead of the point, You gotta nail that flesh to the cross.
Right.
And when that flesh starts screaming, let him scream. Amen. Let him holler. Because he's dying.
That's right. Preach it. True. That's good.
Because the flesh is going to raise up his ugly head. Or her ugly head. Let's make this thing genderly correct. But anyhow, So here's it's a commitment that you have to be willing to make. You have to be willing. As Jesus said here, if any man, there's your desire, will come after me. There's a decision. You have to make the decision. You have to desire to follow Christ. Amen. Let him deny himself. You got to deny yourself. That old sin nature. That nature that's opposed to Christ and doesn't want to do anything that Christ wants you to do. That old self-centered attitude. How many of you know that, this might sting a little, that most Christians, I'm not going to be careful, I'm going to preach the truth. Especially in this day and age. Jesus said, I know your works, man. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. He said that you're lukewarm. He said, your faith sickens me. He said, you think you're rich and have need of nothing, but you're poor and wretched, blind and naked and miserable. And he's speaking to the church of that age, man. He's speaking to any church of any age, and he's singling out the people who fits that. Those characteristics. Now, I don't know about other ages. I know about this one. And I know about myself. And there's times where I'm lukewarm. I'm not on fire for God. There's times, and you ask my wife, when I'm so self-centered, you don't want to be around me. I can't even stand to look in the mirror. And the Spirit of God is saying, Tony, deny yourself. I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. Take self off the throne of your heart and sanctify me there. You're not God, Tony. I am. Take up your cross daily. There's your dedication. I have to do it moment by moment. And follow me. There's your determination. Sweetly, Lord, have I heard thee calling, come, follow me. And I see where thy foot Prince falling leads us to thee. Footprints of Jesus that makes the pathways glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. In your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. Oh God. Excuse me while I pray just a moment. Oh God. God, I'm sorry for being such a hypocrite. Lord, for preaching these things for years and not being a doer of your word. God, much that I've done over the years has been in the flesh and not in your power. And Lord, those things that we've done in the flesh are not going to count for anything in glory. Look at point number 7. The Lord will enable you to know him by experience when you obey him and he fulfills his great commission through you. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21, once again. Ephesians 3, 20 through 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that's already at work in you. Why? Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. See, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you're able to even ask or think through the power that's already in you. You've received the Spirit. God's expectations of you are high. And he says, listen, all I want you to do is have enough faith to surrender and allow me to do it through you. You know what? If we did that, we wouldn't have any, we would never have a problem with having more excuses than motives for fulfilling the Great Commission. We have all the confidence that we need to have if we just allow God, surrender. You know, this is kind of like an oxymoron. It's harder to do than you think, but it's easier to think. It's easier to do than you think too. All you got to do is let go. And God takes care of the rest. Because you can't do anything without him.
Amen.
As we illustrate this point, look at the greatest example that we have. Look at John chapter 14, verses 9 through 12. Are you still with me, saints? Let's start in verse 7. If you have known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou that then show us the Father? Believest not that thou... Not that I am in the Father and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, watch this, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he also do, he do also, and greater works. Brother Legault, is that a cross-reference to Ephesians chapter 3 or not? And greater works. Than these shall he do because I go unto my Father.
Amen.
How? Lord, how am I going to do greater works than you? Well, the body's going to be bigger for one. You're going to be my body. And if you surrender, the Father's going to work through you. His body, the same way he did me.
Amen.
God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Now Christ wants us to allow him to live his life through us by his Spirit.
Right.
So that we can draw men, women, boys and girls unto him. That he can draw men and women, boys and girls unto him through us.
Right.
It's not about you.
Amen.
Or me. God is not overly concerned or impressed with someone who can preach, you know, great philosophical conundrums. And I don't even know what that means. Great philosophies, you know, a great orator. Boy, he stroked, who was that? It was Herod that he stroked dead. People were bragging about how great a speaker he was. You know, by the way, unless you speak the truth in love, it counts for nothing in heaven. And what do you mean by love? I'm glad you asked. Unless you speak the truth in love, being genuinely concerned for the highest good for your audience.
Yeah,
not to badger them or beat them up, but to try to edify them. That's the more excellent way than any gift that you might have that God has given you. Let's look at another example. The Apostle Paul, and you quoted it, Galatians 2:20. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. In other words, I live a life that is totally, completely dependent upon Jesus. Because I have learned how to be content. I have learned, you know, that I can do nothing without him. Through all of my work and through all of my strivings with and without Christ and without, in spite of all of my abilities, I realized that, you know, when the Lord humbled me and put me in prison, when the Lord gave me infirmities that he would not take away. Paul prays that, Lord, let this say, he even prayed, let this cup pass from me. And the Lord said, no, my grace is sufficient. Because his power is made perfect in weakness, in your weakness. I want you to be dependent upon me. God gives you a thorn. He gives you something in your life to draw you closer to him. And he wants to strengthen you through the circumstances. Whatever it might be. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith. A life that is totally dependent upon him, of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. God, I don't understand this, but I understand that you love me. How, Lord, how are you going to bear fruit out of this thing? Listen, I just want you to surrender so that I can put, so that you can put me on display in your life. So that I would get the glory, because he's worthy. I want you to live your, allow me to live my life to you so that I can fulfill the great commission through you. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. You can't do that in the flesh. You won't do it in the flesh. That's why so many people aren't going, because they're trying to do it in the flesh. And one day you'll have to give an account. That's why I confess my hypocrisy. How long do we sit under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God and not do all that we could? And the best you can do is to surrender. And as it relates to this mission field, obeying the Great Commission, there's no greater work than that. Are you with me? D.L. Moody, Adoniram Judson, Billy Sunday, even Billy Graham, people talk about his methods. You know what? I believe that God used that man to bring many souls to Christ. All these people and others had one thing in common. We mentioned this earlier. They allowed God to do his work through them. The world has yet to see what God can do in and through a man or woman who is totally and completely surrendered to him. How do we do this? You have to abide in him. You have to allow him to live his life through you. You have to abide or to begin and then continue to remain in close fellowship with him. Close enough to allow him to live his life through you. There's a song that we sing that illustrates that, and I won't take time to sing it, but just let me do just one verse. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends with God's children. Help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends and thy conduct, his blessing shall see. Take time to be holy. Let him be your guide. And run not before him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow thy Lord. Look into Jesus. Keep trusting in his word. Take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. Thus led by his spirit to fountains of love, I soon shall be fitted for service above. By way of invitation, because just because of the night crowd, I don't just assume that everybody here is saved. Because as many people who think that they're saved, profess to be saved, because, for whatever reason, they're not genuinely saved. Chances are that many of you here in the congregation are not saved. And I don't say that to overthrow anybody's faith. I'm speaking the truth in love. It has to be a personal commitment to surrender your life to the Lord. You have to be willing. Spirit of God says it by the best, by the word. If you want to be saved, he said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the only way that you can know Jesus Christ is Lord is by his spirit, according to the word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The only way you can acknowledge him as Lord and allow him to be the Lord over your life, man, you got to surrender. Because when you call on the name of the Lord, Jesus said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and you do not the things that I say? You have to be willing to do what he wants you to do. That's when he becomes your Lord. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead. You have to believe enough to receive him as your Savior. You have to believe enough to surrender your heart, your life to him. You have to believe enough to call upon him. He's calling you by his spirit, through the word, through prayer, people praying for you to get saved, praying for you now, through circumstances. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What is the consequence? If you don't get saved, you'll die and you'll spend eternity in hell. God doesn't send anybody to hell. People choose to either go to heaven or go to hell by whether or not they receive Christ or not. He speaks. He's speaking to you today by his spirit through the word of God, through prayer, through circumstances, by his people. Me and others who have been really talking to you about getting saved for many, many years. The word of God says now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Pastor, you come. Let me say this. Now, bow your heads. Bow your hearts, more importantly. Please, bow your hearts. If you're not saved here today, you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you know that. Nobody's looking around. Everybody's got their head bowed, please. We don't want to embarrass anybody. If you've never bowed your heart, to Christ, you're not sure that you're saved, you don't even have to raise your hand. If you want, you can look up here at me. I won't embarrass you. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not saved. Are you willing to call upon the name of the Lord? If you're not sure, are you willing to at least recommit your life to the Lord? Pray something like this. Lord, I received you as a Savior. I'm not living the way I ought to be. I'm not following you. I'm not fulfilling the Great Commission. I'm not even thinking about it. Lord, forgive me, please, for not following you. Forgive me for being backslidden. I recommit my life to you right now. If you want to be saved and you're not saved, would you pray something like this from your heart? Let these words be yours. Jesus, I believe that you're Lord. I want you to be my Lord. I surrender my heart, my life to you. I have a change of my mind, my heart. I give my heart to you, and I turn from anything that I've been running from you. I turn totally and completely to you. Please save me and give me eternal life. Lord, you said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm calling on you right now. I'm taking you at your word. Please give me this salvation. I pray in Jesus' name. If you prayed that and you really meant it, God looks in your heart to see whether or not you're sincere. That's all anybody has to do to get saved. Following him is an evidence of being saved. That's one evidence. In conclusion, those of you who are saved, do you have ears to hear what the Spirit has been saying all day? What has he been saying? The Lord is always at work around you in your mission field. The Lord pursues a love relationship with you and those in your mission field that is real and personal. The Lord invites you to join him in his work in the mission field. The Lord speaks to you by his Spirit through his word, prayer, circumstances, and his church to reveal your mission field to you and how to fulfill his great commission. The Lord's invitation for you to join him in your mission field will lead you to a crisis of belief that will require faith in action. The Lord's work will require you to make major adjustments in your life to obey the great commission. The Lord will enable you to know him by experience when you obey him and he fulfills his great commission through you. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him respond. Pastor.